Hello. Good evening, everyone. It's wonderful to see you again. I think somebody's coming to say goodnight. Hey, Jasmine.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, Jasmine. Can I have a kiss?
Right.
Sleep well.
Good night, Jasmine. Can I have a kiss too? All right.
Good night.
Good night.
All right. Jasmine's going to bed. We are here tonight for Holy Spirit Guides. So what I'm going to do is give you a link. This is to reginadonacres.com, and it should take you directly to a page in July of 2005, which is where we're going to begin. And we're actually going to begin with the second message on that page. The first message is dated July 11th. We're going to begin with the second message from Sunday, July 10th, which is called Jesus Has Made the Journey for You. And I don't remember this message at all, so I'm looking forward to it. Will I post the link again, please? Did you pop in just like a second too late, Charlotte? For you, Charlotte, anything. There you go. How's that? Yeah, she popped in 1 second too late. Good. Okay. Hey, Laurent.
It's me.
Do you feel like saying the prayer for me?
Sorry?
Do you feel like saying the prayer for me?
Sure, I will.
Okay.
First of all, hi to everybody. And in the depth, in the altar of the heart, I ask Holy Spirit to give us the knowledge, to show us the knowing, to let us see through His eyes so that we can all know what we need to know and realize what it is we need to realize. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It's nice to hear your voice instead of mine for a change. Here you go, Wayne. There's the link. All right, now somebody else pops in, so I'll give the link again in a minute. What I'm going to do is I'm going to begin reading, and we'll just see what this message is. I really don't remember it at all right now. So again, we're at Sunday, July 10th, 2005, and oops, wait, Steve, I think, is arriving. Hello, Steve, welcome. We're just beginning, okay?
Cool. Yep.
Okay, here we go. Again, so we're at Sunday, July 10th, 2005, and the name of the message that I gave it is Jesus Has Made the Journey for You. Here was my question. What does the manual for teachers mean when it says, why would you choose to start again when Jesus has made the journey for you? And here's the answer. You have A Course in Miracles to help you. You have the story of Jesus' life and the symbols that life represents to you. You do not need to sit under a tree and start with the first question to find all of the answers. Through Jesus, you have been given a head start. Through His words and His life, a finger points directly to the questions you must ask so you can move speedily along the path of salvation. And you too shall leave breadcrumbs for your brothers, and they will benefit from your way. One thing that I thought was really interesting in that particular paragraph is when he talked about Jesus' life, as I told you, I didn't remember this message at all, so I was thinking he was going to tell me that I could find the answer there. He didn't say that. He said I could find the questions there. So I didn't have to make up the questions, that I could find the questions, but I still need to ask the questions within, and I still need to find the answer within. So I thought that was pretty interesting. Mm-hmm. I then continued. I said, I seem to have many questions. There is confusion between acceptance of form as it is and being a doormat. There is also confusion about giving all to all and giving your brother anything he asks for. Am I giving into ego temptation if I don't swim with Jasmine when she asks me to? Please help with this confusion. Okay, so now I'm at least remembering where we were. We were still at the beach, it looks like. Remember, I had told you guys before that our furniture got lost somewhere in America, And we ended up going to the beach and saying, call us when you find our furniture. So we were at the beach. And what I wanted to do, being a little older than Jasmine, was lay in the sun. And what Jasmine wanted me to do was get in the pool and play games with her all of the time. And I just didn't want to. And I was feeling very selfish and very guilty. And I was remembering things like, you know, give all to all, accept form as it is. And yet I really didn't want to get in the pool and play those games. So this is really where this question is coming from. Am I truly a selfish bastard? You know, so Holy Spirit says, follow your heart, not your thinking mind. By this, I mean, do not fight for what you think you need, for you need nothing. Whenever you fight, you are denying yourself. And yet, within the world of form, you are free to speak your truth clearly in love and understanding. And that totally confused me. So you'll see what I said next was, please be clearer. This is such a strong point of confusion. And there are many of us who seek clarity. So I apparently had talked to some other people who were suffering from the same confusion. And the reason that the answer he gave me confused me is, at first he seemed to be telling me not to fight for what I need, which again, in the specific form, not to fight to lay in the sun is what I was hearing. Don't fight because you think you need to lay in the sun to be peaceful. This is how I was hearing it. You know, get in the pool, play with Jasmine, and be happy there. But then he turns right around and says, but you're free to speak your truth clearly in love and understanding. So my feeling was that Holy Spirit contradicted himself and did not give me an answer at all. So this is why I said, please be clear. This is such a strong point of confusion, and there are many of us who seek clarity. And so the Holy Spirit came back. One who has relinquished self-will cannot be a doormat. To be a doormat, one must first have a will that is separate from another, and then one must be victim to that will that is not its own. And that I could understand, that that really what was happening, at the level of form, was that I had a will to lay in the sun, Jasmine had a will for me to play in the pool with her, and I was seeing myself as having a separate will and being victim to her will. I either had to fight for my way or give in and sacrifice. I mean, that is the way I saw it. I only had two choices. It was a lose-lose situation. I either had to fight for my way and feel like a selfish bastard, or I had to give in and be a victim. So I saw that it was all coming from self-will. So that I got. So I said, all right, I see that. So the feeling of being a doormat is evidence that we believe we have a separate will. When we see this evidence and feel this concern, how do we truly turn our will over to you? Okay, so if I have the feeling that I'm a doormat, it means that I believe in separate wills. That I understood. The Holy Spirit says, remember that it is not the form that is important. Remember there is nothing to feel guilty about because you are only dreaming of a conflict of separate wills. But also acknowledge your desire to wake up from this dream. Take a moment to love yourself as if you were another. So here, Laurent, you know, he's really talking to me because you know how I'm much better at loving others than loving myself. So now he's asking me to love myself as if I was someone else because I'm so good at loving others. So take a moment to love yourself as if you were another. What would you tell that one? Would you tell her that she must do something against her will and under coercion if she is to find the love of God? No. You would tell her to follow her heart. You would tell her to take a moment to ask what she truly wants, to listen to herself, and do whatever the answer must be. This is what it means to let your no mean no. And no can mean no in peace and confidence. If, in saying no, she feels she has uncovered a thought she must let go of, she can also give her willingness to let go of that thought while saying no. If she feels she is following true guidance in her answer, she can feel grateful for the guidance and release concern for outcome to the Holy Spirit. Either way, she is free to accept peace while saying no. There is never coercion on the path to God. All steps must be freely chosen. This is what it means to have free will within the world. So, a very interesting answer here. It's really what I would still call a stepping stone answer at this part, at this point. The primary interest that Holy Spirit seems to have is helping me to let go of judging myself, helping me to let go of feeling guilty, because that's really what I was doing. I was feeling like I either had to fight for my way, and of course I felt guilty for fighting for my way. I felt like a selfish bastard. Or I had to give in and feel like a victim. Either way, I wasn't feeling very good about it. And so the first thing that Holy Spirit wants me to do is to let go of all of this self-judgment, or let go of this feeling of being victim. So what he's giving me permission to do is to say no. But it's interesting, because what he asked me to do first is he asked me to follow my heart. And notice the follow my heart is not an immediate reaction. He says you would tell her to take a moment to ask what she truly wants. So what he's really understanding here, of course, is that the ego at this point is raging. And instead of looking at the situation from within the raging ego, to just take a moment to go in just a little quieter, a little deeper, and ask the heart, what do I truly want? And it may be completely possible that when I go in and do that, that I at least want to get in and play in the pool for a little bit. I may find that love within. But I may still feel, no, what I truly want is to lay in the sun. That's what I truly want. Either way, whichever answer I find, whether I find I want to get in the pool or whether I find I want to lay in the sun, either way, if I've taken a moment to step away from the raging ego and to ask myself what I truly want, that answer is now going to be coming from a place that is a little more peace-centered. It may not be my deepest will, but it's going to be a little more peace-centered. And so now that I find this answer, he says, now you can answer in peace. You can say no, if that's the answer that you find, and you can say it in peace. This is what it means to let your no mean no. Now, if in the saying no, you discover that you've uncovered a thought that needs to be let go of, you know, maybe you're saying no, but you're still feeling a little bit, you know, I'm going to say no because I really want my way right now, but I'm noticing that I still think there's a my way and a her way. So I give my willingness, Holy Spirit, to see this differently. So I'm both saying no because it's what I want to do in the moment, but I'm also noticing that I'm really not at the highest place in my mind. So I'm at the same time noticing what's in my mind that needs to be let go of. It's like a stepping stone decision, and there's no judgment about that. It's cool. So I lay in the sun, recognize I believe there's two wills, and I give my willingness to see differently, and I'm in peace at least in that moment. It's a stepping stone place to be, but there's no judgment in that. Again, the last paragraph is beautiful, where he says, there is never coercion on the path to God. I do not have to sacrifice at all. If I truly do not want to do something, in this case, get in the pool and play with my daughter, I don't have to. And I need to accept myself wherever I'm at without judgment. That is very important. Accept myself wherever I'm at without judgment. That's really what the Holy Spirit wants. It doesn't mean I won't possibly, probably move beyond that way of seeing to another way of seeing. But if this is where I am right now, I need to accept myself where I am right now without judgment. Let me read this last paragraph, Lord Blue, and then I'll turn it over to you. So there is never coercion on the path to God. All steps must be freely chosen. This is what it means to have free will within the world. And that, of course, means I can't be forced into awakening. It has to be something I want. Okay, Lord Blue, go ahead. Question, what's the difference between... Oh, goodness, you got me laughing now, Lord Blue. What's the difference between ACIM and NTI in your opinion? I ask this because in the first sentence, HS said you have ACIM to help you. Okay, the real reason, Lord...
You didn't have NTI.
Yeah, the real reason he said that, Lord Blue, is I didn't have NTI at the time. NTI had not even started to be written until actually about a month after this. I started NTI in August of 2005, and this was July of 2005. So there was no NTI at this point. Hold on, I need to get a drink of water.
That's a very good question, though.
Yeah, but to me, what's the main difference between ACIM and NTI? You know, the way I always say it, Laura Blue, and it's not a very concrete answer, but it's the only answer I can give, is that it seems to me that ACIM and NTI teach the same thing. Their purpose is exactly the same. Their objective is exactly the same, but they seem to come at the mind from different angles. And because they come at the mind from different angles, one book may be more helpful to some, the other book may be more helpful to others, and for many of us, we can use both books together. Also, the symbols in the two books are a little different, and I find that to be very helpful, because sometimes when we look at the truth through symbols, which of course is the only way we can look at it, but we look at it through just one set of symbols, the ego can interpret those symbols in a way that actually delays awakening. But when we look at the same truth through different sets of symbols, what happens is the truth remains consistent, but the ego is not able to interpret different symbols consistently. So the ego's version of the story, the ego's delay tactics begin to fall apart, and the truth seems to stand up a little stronger. So for me, one thing that was really helpful about NTI was that it used different symbols, different ways of teaching the same truth. And it led me out of a lot of confusion that entered my mind as I studied ACIM alone, of course, with the ego interpreting it the way it wanted it to. How about you, Laurent? Do you have any feelings about the difference between ACIM and NTI?
Well, just as an overall look, I would say that ACIM would be more of a top-notch psychoanalysis of the ego thought system. In a very detailed, very precise, it's like going into the factory, really get your hand dirtied with really what's happening with the ego. So it's absolutely fantastic. I was about to say out of this world. It is definitely out of this world, but it's really about precisely the mechanisms of that murderous thought system. But the goal is absolutely about the same, as you said, as NTI. And NTI is, I don't know NTI that much. I really love a lot the different voices of the different books of NTI. Maybe NTI would be a little more, and you know, once again, this is from my very small point of view here, because it changes all the time. It is just a little opinion. But it's maybe a little more directed toward guidance. I'm just talking about the text itself. Of course, the workbook of the course is very much about guidance. It's very much about letting go of the things. But I don't know. It's you might find
some people have told me they think that NTI is gentler. That's one thing I hear from other people, that it's a gentler approach. So I don't know. You know what, Laura Blue? I think you should read NTI and decide for yourself.
Exactly. No, I mean, of course, it's
But follow-up question: do you have a kind of special relationship with NTI? Is it more dear to you? The honest answer to that is no. What I have a special relationship with is the Holy Spirit, truly, and I want to do whatever the Holy Spirit guides me to do, and I'm as willing to put NTI aside as I am to pick it up. I just want to follow whatever guidance Holy Spirit gives me. And in fact, in order to finish NTI, what I had to do was let go of it. What happened with NTI was I had written it all the way through the book of Jude. And if you know anything about the Bible, you know that after you finish Jude, there's only one book left, it's Revelation. And after Jude, I was guided to let go of NTI, to let go of ever finishing it, ever, you know, having it published, ever having anything be done with it other than it sets down and gathers dust now. And I completely did that. I completely let go of NTI. I really, really, truly in my heart was willing to not finish it. I was willing to walk away and say, well, it must have done for me what it needed to do for me. And when I did that completely, that's when I received the guidance to go ahead and finish it. So there you go. I was actually guided to let go of NTI, and I did, and that's how it got done. So why don't we go back then to... Oops, Steve, I think, is going to speak. Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, I just wanted to share that I think, for me, NTI just really reinforced everything in the course. And I think, like it says in NTI, we have these ego filters. So certain words are going to get through better than other words at different times, you know. And I think also what I like about NTI is it just reinforces the course, so I can see if I got it in the Horse of Miracles and I got it in NTI and I get it in the Way of Mastery. I think it's just helps reinforce it. It puts so many different ways out there. For me, looking at like, let's say the Course in Miracles. The Course in Miracles, Helen Schuckman and Bill Bedford got together and looked for another way, and it made it available for Jesus or the Holy Spirit to bring all these things that we've been learning, like the Celestine prophecies talk about for the last 2,000 plus years, and put it in a form where somebody could just pick it up from the bookshelf in a bookstore, you know, and it just brought that into the dream, another tool, you know, and I think they're all really helpful tools. And, you know, sometimes if you're doing a brake job, you need certain tools, and you can't just use every tool for everything. I think it's always in the application of it. For me, it seems like, you know, it's like the more I apply it, the more it seems to work. And if I leave tools in the toolbox, they don't really do anything, you know. It's like it gives you another tool to work with. It gives you another way to look at it. And like it says in NTI and in the Carpenter book, he says certain words are going to get through the ego filters for everybody because everybody has different meanings for each word. So for me, it helps reinforce it, and it helps. I notice that when I get it, I kind of get it, you know. I know when I get it, I still get it. It's not like it changes. Like you said, there's consistency in all of it, and there's no way for me to say that one is better than the other because they all seem complementary, you know. I'm trying to find that thing where he says, like, in Way of Mastery, he says, I speak to many, and I speak to, you know, everyone in many ways, you know. Yeah, here it is. In the beginning of Lesson 2, it says, it is with great joy that I come forth to abide with you. It is a great truth that I come often unto many, but for many, many years, most people didn't share about it, most people weren't asked to write about it, you know. It says, but because of what you have learned in your world, you have often believed me to be a figment of your imagination. I think that's really cool. It says, the voice that steals quietly through the space between your own thoughts, you think to be but illusion. But I say, I come often into many. And I think he's just putting a lot of different tools out there to use. And I really like what he says later, him trying to, it was there for a second, is just that he's always available to anybody, you know, just for the asking, you know, further apart than the width of a thought. And it's just, and now, like in the Way of Mastery, he's just showing how he did it exactly, you know, and gives all these different things that he did. And a lot of times he says, don't do what I did just because I did it. It might not work for you, but it might work for you. And you can just know that I did it, and there's a path to follow. You know, he kind of lights the way ahead and stuff like that. So for me, it's just, it's all the same, but it's all good, and it's all, like you said, consistent. And I don't think there's really a difference unless certain words get through your filter better than others, through your ego filters, because it says the curriculum is highly individualized. Whatever works for you, use it. You know, if you like a certain tool, use it. And it's just the use that where it all happens. You know what I mean? For me, it's using it that makes the accomplishment and the achievement. Having the tools doesn't do anything to fix my car if they're just sitting in the toolbox. So that's just what I wanted to share and what I got from Lord Blue's question. And both your answers I agreed with. You know, it's just for me, it's like, it's all good. It's all complementary. It's very consistent. I don't see any differences from one to the next. You know, it's just different applications maybe. So I'm done sharing. Thank you for letting me share.
Thanks. And of course, this morning in Awakenings, what we really talked about is that there's truly only one rule that we all need to follow, and that is to follow our own inner guidance as to what books to read, what teachers to listen to, etc. So, and we were getting that advice out of NTI. So, you know, just each one should follow their own guidance. And if they're guided to NTI or A Course in Miracles, great. If they're not guided to NTI or A Course in Miracles, that's great too, just so they're following Holy Spirit.
And there's something like for the sake of the difference in form, it carries the difference that there is between Regina and Helen, you know.
And
JM as well. So
yeah.
It's all three. In that, through those channels, you will have the language and the specialty somehow, you know, of those three minds.
Yeah, you can't separate the scribe from the work.
No, you can't.
All right, so back to ReginaDunnAkers.com, and I'll give the link because several people have entered the room, so this is where we're at. And we're now going to be at the top of that page, which looks like a little poem or something. It's simply called Ask Why. It's from Monday, July 11th. What I would have you ask now is why. You can see how this is a follow-up from the message from the day before. What I would have you ask now is why. Why am I doing this thing? Why am I asking this question? Why am I thinking this thought? Are all things for the purpose of awakening? If not, what other purposes do I have? Why do I have those purposes? What is it that I seek? Remember to ask yourself why in all things today, and be prepared to learn from yourself. So this is where Holy Spirit, remember I told you that yesterday's answer was a stepping stone answer. Well, it looks like we didn't stay on that stone very long before Holy Spirit started moving me on. And really where Holy Spirit is moving me on is starting to examine my motives, and then to discover my motives, and then to compare my motives to what I truly want, and ask myself, is this the choice I truly want to make now? And again, he's not asking me to do anything against my will. It's still not coercion. But what he's helping me to do is to realize that sometimes I'm not making choices in harmony with my true desire. And this is why I'm not happy. And if I start noticing what's going on, start noticing the whys underneath my decisions, underneath my actions, underneath, you know, my thought processes, and then start looking at those motives and comparing those motives to what I truly want, I'm going to start noticing that I'm out of harmony with myself. I'm going to start realizing this is why I'm not happy, and I'm going to start shifting. I'm going to start making some different decisions. But I can't do that until I look a little deeper. So what's happening now on Monday, July 11th, is he's guiding me to start looking deeper. That's all he's asking me to do. It's really just noticing what's really going on in my mind, noticing what's driving me, and then asking myself if that is what I want to drive me. He's still not asking me to make any different choices. He's just asking me to notice. So let me read this again. What I would have you ask now is why. Why am I doing this thing? Why am I asking this question? Why am I thinking this thought? Are all things for the purpose of awakening? If not, what other purposes do I have? Why do I have those purposes? What is it that I seek? Remember to ask yourself why in all things today, and be prepared to learn from yourself. I think that's funny. Be prepared to learn from yourself. So.
Yeah, the good thing is that when he asks the question, you ask yourself the question, and when he said be prepared to learn from yourself, it means that you have all the answers.
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
And it's great.
Yeah, it's nice. Nice little thing there. All right. So at the top of the page now, you'll see where it says next entries. You want to click on next entries. That will take you to what appears to be Saturday, July 23rd, but that's the top of the page. We need to scroll all the way down to the bottom. So you'll want to scroll to the bottom of that page, and you will get to Tuesday, July 12th. You are filled with my love. So here we go. You are filled with my love, for you can be filled with nothing else. Only love exists. All else is illusion. This may be addressing the idea that I had that I was a selfish bastard. Probably still have not let go of this idea. I'm probably still at the beach not wanting to get in the pool. So Holy Spirit's still helping me with that. Let's see. You are filled with my love, for you can be filled with nothing else. Only love exists. All else is illusion. This statement is completely true. It cannot be partially true. Either love is all there is, or it is not all there is. Either this statement is true, or it is false. There can be no in-between in a statement that is fully inclusive. When you look at yourself, whether that seems to be you or your brother, and you see anything that is not love, you are looking at illusions. Even a call for love is an illusion, for a call for love implies an absence of love, and there cannot be an absence of all that is. What can be other than love is only imagination. Imagination can be believed, and within dreams it can seem to be acted on. Israel, which is love. This is your role if you are to awaken. All right, here's what we got to do. This is your role if you are to awaken. Stop imagining. When imaginings seem to fill your mind, remember that you have decided to let your mind mature into truth and let the imaginings go. This cannot be difficult, for you let go of nothing. Rejoice at your choice to mature. Rejoice at your decision to see all that is as it is. Seek only that which you have chosen now. Together, we will show the world what joy there is in reality, that all games may be put aside as useless. Now, one thing that's really interesting about this to me now is, at this time, as we mentioned a moment ago, I had not yet even begun to write NTI. And as many of you know, I did not understand oneness, which is really the definition of love. I did not understand it, and by that I mean I did not see it. I read about it in books, but reading about it in books and seeing it are two completely different things. So I had not seen it until I wrote NTI Ephesians. So on Tuesday, July 12th, I was very, very far from any true understanding of oneness. And of course, oneness is love. And so when we say love is all that is, what we really mean is oneness is all that is. And now we have that beautiful definition of love that Holy Spirit gave us. You know, love is giving to Spirit, through Spirit, that which Spirit requests. But that definition had not yet been given. When I look at this now, at this particular message, I feel like this is the very first message that Holy Spirit gave me that started pointing in that direction. And the reason is because this is the very first message where he talks about imagination. So what he's really saying, and Laurent, this is reminding me of the picture you drew the other day when we were in the back room, remember?
Yes.
what he's really saying is there's a reality which is love, or which is oneness, that is underneath all things, that is driving all things. Any time that you aren't aware of that, you're imagining on top of it. So there's a foundation of love, a foundation of oneness, and whenever you don't see it, you're imagining. And then, of course, he tells us that our role, if we are to awaken, is to stop imagining. And what I totally understood at that time was that my imagination was my thinking. I did get that. I didn't get what the love was that he was talking about. I didn't have that understanding. But I knew that the reason I didn't see the love or experience the love was because of my thinking. And so when he said, this is your role if you are to awaken, stop imagining, I knew he meant stop believing my own thinking. I knew that that was the block to love's presence. And I would say this message is the first time that I started to get that, truly. So this was a very important message for me. Again, he says, this is your role if you are to awaken. Stop imagining. When imaginings seem to fill your mind, remember that you have decided to let your mind mature into truth and let the imaginings go. This cannot be difficult, for you let go of nothing. So again, I'm understanding that what he's saying is that my thinking is the block to love's presence. And I never understood that before this particular day. I would not have known what the obstacles to love's presence were. But now I understand it's my thinking. And so from this point on, I began to look at my thoughts in a different way. I began to understand that it is really my thinking that needed to be let go of. And of course, I'm still learning that. Anybody who is close to me and knows what I'm learning, you realize that I'm learning this at a deeper and deeper level now. But on this day, Tuesday, July 12th, that's when I first started learning it. Any questions or anything before we continue to the next message? All right, then. Let's scroll up to Wednesday, July 13th. You can see there's lots of confusion for me around this time, lots of questions. Now I'm asking, what's the difference between accepting, you know, accepting what is, and adjusting to it? Somehow I know in adjusting to it, there's some, again, there's still the idea of sacrifice. So that's my question. What is the difference between accepting and adjusting? Answer. Adjusting to illusions has a feeling of surrender as sacrifice. You want things to be different, but will take them as they are because you feel you have no choice and prefer to be happy. Adjusting is different than acceptance because there is still a feeling of lack associated with the circumstance. With acceptance, there is no perceived lack. The circumstance is perceived as whole and complete as it is. So my question then became, how can I ensure that I am learning acceptance and not adjusting? Answer. If there is truly no preferred outcome in your mind, there is nothing to adjust to. If illusions have become meaningless to you, there is nothing to adjust to. You will not have to adjust to be happy unless you feel that things must be a certain way within form in order for you to be happy. So this is a pretty clear answer. Whenever I'm seeking outside of myself for happiness, I'm going to be adjusting rather than accepting in order to be happy. But when I'm not seeking outside of myself anymore for happiness, that's when I'm into true acceptance. So the real question here is, where am I looking for my happiness? And that's how I'll know whether I'm adjusting or accepting. My next question was, there are many things in form that do seem important to me. Some seem critically important. How do I get from where I am to seeing everything in form as meaningless? Answer. Accept that your perspective now is not all there is and be willing to see anew. Accept that you are wrong and let go of all desire to be right. Don't make changes in form that you are not ready to make. But as you do things in form based on a perceived need, be willing to see that as a temporary perception rather than a fact. Be willing to be open to seeing anew. So again, it's a stepping stone thought that he's giving us, but it's a very, very helpful stepping stone. So if something is very important to me, for example, finding a romantic relationship, and I really feel I want to get married and have children. You know, this is a very common seeming need in the world. I really feel that I want to get married and have children, and so my happiness seems to be linked to this outside thing. Holy Spirit is saying, okay, fine. So you think you need to get married and have children in order to be happy. Look at that as a temporary perception right now. Realize that you can move beyond it. Accept that is your perception now, but don't see it as a concrete fact. Don't see it as something that you absolutely, truly have to have or you'll never be happy. Just see it as the way you feel now and be open to the fact that someday you may not feel that way anymore. It's very gentle. He's just asking us to be open. Now we get down to what I wanted, which was not to get married and have children. Let's get into the details here. What I wanted was to be alone. The opposite of getting married and having children. I said personal space, or the ability to retreat into personal space, seems important. It seems important for happiness, and it seems important for time with you. Yet, I also see this desire for personal space as a desire for separateness. Can you please help with this confusion? And very specifically, what I was talking about, of course, was not living alone, living with someone else, in this case, Jasmine, who wanted to be with me when I wanted to be alone. And again, I was feeling like a selfish bastard. still feeling like a selfish bastard here. And so, you know, this is what I feel like I need, personal space, but I have this little girl here who wants to spend time with me. Help me. Please help me with this. And so Holy Spirit says, content and intent exceed form. What is the purpose of your being apart? Are you being apart in form in order to join in spirit, or are you being apart in form in order to keep yourself separate? And the truth is, and I'm sure you guys all know, because I'm sure you all go through this, sometimes it was one and sometimes it was another. Sometimes I was really just feeling guided to go and spend some time alone. Other times I really just wanted to get away. And what he's really saying is, I need to look at, again, what's underneath. We're not talking about spending time alone. We're talking about motive. What's underneath why I want to go and spend time alone? Remember that what you teach, you learn, and what you demonstrate, you teach. When you feel the desire to be apart, ask yourself, what is the purpose of the apart time? If the purpose is joining, the seeming separateness in form is meaningless, as all form is meaningless. And of course, the purpose is joining when I'm truly feeling just to go and be alone with Spirit. If I'm feeling to go and be alone with Spirit in meditation or in studying A Course in Miracles, you know, but my real purpose is healing, that's the purpose of joining. So he's saying, even though I may physically be apart from someone, if my purpose is joining, my purpose is love, there really is no separateness there, you know, in my mind. So that's okay. You know, that's okay for me. I'm in harmony with myself. Let's put it that way. If the purpose is joining, the seeming separateness in form is meaningless, as all form is meaningless. If the purpose is hatred, acknowledge your purpose and let it go. It is also meaningless because it is a purpose of illusion. A purpose within dreams may maintain dreams if it is long cherished, but a purpose released has not effects anywhere. You can change even the dream by changing your purpose. So again, he's teaching me to look at the motives rather than look at the form. Look at the motives. And again, if my purpose is joining, if I really am just feeling guided into quiet time, you know, go. But if my purpose is hatred, if my purpose is wanting to get away, needing time alone from that hatred energy, he's actually recommending, you know, because of my purpose, that I notice that and then choose not to follow it. At that time, not to go into my room and close the door. But in that time, to choose to stay with Jasmine. Because otherwise, I'm listening to the ego. So he's teaching me to learn not to listen to the ego. He's teaching me to learn to let that go. He says, if I continue to cherish that thought of hatred, I'm just going to continue dreaming. And he knows that that isn't my purpose. So, again, it's all about, you know, what's underneath. Always looking underneath, and then remembering my purpose, comparing what's underneath to my purpose. If it's aligned with my purpose, do it. If it's not aligned with my purpose, let it go and don't do it. That way I am always aligned with my purpose. Anything? No? Then I'll just take a drink of water. Anybody else have anything?
I drink what you say.
You drink what I say? Mm-hmm. Okay, good. Okay, then let's scroll up to Thursday, July 14th. How can I feel more peace? I guess you guys can tell this was a stormy time for me. Spending lots of time feeling like a selfish bastard. Not much peace going on. Well, lots going on in my mind. How can I feel more peace? Question. I have made the decision to change my purpose, and although habits from another purpose still linger, I have not gone back on my decision. Why aren't I completely peaceful and rejoicing? That's a good question. I've chosen to awaken. I've given up my job. I've moved. I'm doing everything. How come I still hate everyone? You know, how come I'm still, you know, worried about the future? You know, why is all this stuff still going on in my mind? How come I'm not peaceful? Answer. Transitions seem to take time in your world. Like with a computer, old files are being replaced with new ones. This seems to be a process. It is only a process, however, if you look at it as a span of time. This is now reminding me of a picture I drew for you about a week ago. We draw lots of pictures around here. This is reminding me of the picture I drew when I drew a picture of awakening as a dot being done.
Oh, yeah, and being done.
And then I said that we were inside of that dot, right? That we are in the process of being done. We are being done. This is reminding me of that. So let me start again. Transitions seem to take time in your world. Like with a computer, old files are being replaced with new ones. This seems to be a process. It is only a process, however, if you look at it as a span of time. You will see what seems to be progress, high points, learning points, and breakdowns. This may seem to be looking at the whole, but it is not, for the whole is contained within this moment. If you can look at just this moment without a seeming memory of past or expectations of future, you will see that you are healed now. It is done. It is not a process. It is a decision. And you have made the decision that affects healing. Question: how can I accept the gifts that my decision has given me so I can share them with others? Answer: you have accepted the gifts, and you do share them. It is only your perception of time that keeps you from recognizing this. Without the perception of time, your recognition is eternal. So, you know, one thing that I've been doing a whole lot better lately is letting go of the idea of time. At the time that this was written, that was impossible for me. So I don't remember how I felt when I walked away from this message. My guess is I walked away from this message feeling just to trust Holy Spirit, even though I didn't understand him, and probably especially trusting this last paragraph saying that I had accepted the gifts and I was sharing them. And of course, again, at this time I hadn't even begun to write NTI. So I had no idea, you know, what was going to be coming through me. I had no idea about all the teaching I was going to be doing, you know, all the other things that I was going to be doing. I had no idea at this time about any of that. But Holy Spirit is really saying it's all done. It's all done. The only reason you don't realize it's all done is because you believe in time. You're not looking at the whole as one moment. You're looking at it as a process. So it's all perspective. But Holy Spirit is basically asking me just to trust. That's the way I heard this message, and this is still the way I hear this message now. Just to trust that no matter where I seem to be, it is perfect. And just stay in that trust and continue walking forward within my perceived process and know that everything is perfect. And that includes the fact that I might not be feeling peace. Even that is a part of the seeming process that is a part of the perfection. So, and in fact, I was telling Laurent, I was in the kitchen a little earlier, I was cooking dinner, and complete and total confusion came over me. In fact, it was so complete and so total that I can't even put it into words. The time frame was very short. It only lasted like a minute. But for a minute, I couldn't even conceive of the idea of truth. I don't know how to describe it. It was like a complete veil of darkness descended on me, and I was completely, completely lost and didn't believe it. For a minute, I didn't believe anything Holy Spirit had ever told me, not one iota. It was completely lost. And it seemed like I could see all of the evidence that the truth was not true fully. And there was no evidence that the truth is true. And what happened is Laurent and I have been studying NTI Luke. And in NTI Luke chapter 4 and chapter 5, Holy Spirit is very clear that strong doubt is going to descend upon the mind. And he says, when that happens, simply remember I told you it would. Then put it aside and put your trust back in me. And that was all I could do in that moment when this complete confusion descended over me. There was no thought that I could grab onto to find my way out again except for that thought. Just remember I told you this would happen. Now you can now that it happened, you can use that to trust me again. You know, what I said would happen did happen. Use that to trust me again. And that's what I did. And as soon as I chose to trust the Holy Spirit, the confusion completely disappeared and was replaced instantly with complete clarity. I went from being completely lost to having full faith in the Holy Spirit and being able to see oneness again in a flash. It was absolutely amazing. So trust is incredible. Trust is incredible. And when we can do nothing else, what we can choose to do is to choose trust. And if we forget everything else, I think that's the only thing we really need to remember. At least it saved me in the kitchen a little earlier tonight. Yeah, Steve.
Yeah, a couple things coming up for me. Like when you were talking now about, in this last question you asked, you seemed like you were, your peace was disturbed because you weren't at peace, or you were trying to figure out why you weren't at peace and stuff like that. And I think that goes, for me, that goes right back to that, one of those first lessons that, or first visions you had about that tunnel of love. You know, it's like that brick wall that's there, it's got more than one or two or three, or, you know, might have hundreds of thousands of bricks in it. So that kind of shows me that it's a process, that you're not going to huff and puff like the big bad wolf and blow that whole brick wall down at once. You know, the brick wall didn't work that way for him. The straw and the other one worked, but not the brick wall. And so for me, that was back in that message, too, that it's going to take, it looks like it's going to, in a dream, it looks like it's going to take a while to get those bricks out of there. And then that seemed to be coming up in the other thing you read earlier, too, about how come, when he was saying, like, don't give up something if it feels like sacrifice. To me, that represents, to me, like the brick in the wall that you're trying to pull out that hasn't been loosened yet, or that the Holy Spirit hasn't shown you the valuelessness of it, or you haven't experienced the valuelessness of this brick or this block to the awareness of love's presence, that it doesn't serve any purpose again. So for me, you know, both of those things kind of showed up in that original tunnel of love, because, I mean, you know it's going to take a while to take a brick and wall down one block at a time, especially if you have to let Holy Spirit loosen the bricks first, you know, so that would be a good sign that maybe it was going to take some patience and it wasn't going to happen. And also, you shared that one time, too, about how even while you're doing, you know, letting go of a block to the awareness of love's presence, there still could be some conflict left in there, because there might be some value that you're still seeing in it that you haven't completely let go of, you know. So all those three things, those messages that you were just talking about, all those kind of went back for me to, like, that tunnel of love, you know, that it's a process. It could take a long time to get that brick wall down, even only because time seems like it's real in the moment. You know, it's not really taking any time, but it seems like it because it moves linearly. So for me, almost all three of those questions were kind of sort of answered in that one vision, too, you know, that there's going to be some conflict yet, and it's not going to all be peace, and even every time you let go of a brick or a block of the awareness of love presence, there could still be conflict within that. And if you try and let it go before you're ready to, you know, like you said in that one, like, it feels like I'm sacrificing if I go and play with Jasmine rather than do what I want to do. So, all those things seem like they were in that one vision yet for me, and they all seem to be reinforcing that vision yet. So thanks for letting me share. I'm done. Thanks again.
Thank you, Steve. That was great. All right, so if you scroll up now to Saturday, July 16th, we have another message from Holy Spirit, which I've named Your Awareness Is Not Fact. Referring, of course, to my awareness, not the Holy Spirit's. Okay, here we go. Holy Spirit is speaking. You don't know me because you do not know yourself. If you knew who you are, you could never feel separate from me, for our separation is impossible. Rejoice that you are wrong in your perspective. Rejoice that the truth saves you from being alone ever. Your awareness is not all there is. Be happy. Today I say to you, you are with me in paradise now. Rejoice and relax with this knowledge. Do not let your awareness distress you. Your awareness does not establish fact. Fact establishes fact, and it cannot be changed. Rest in me as you go through your day. I am with you always. This is a time of patience, and I am here being patient in peace and joy with you. Join with me where I am. I don't remember this day, but I remember writing this one line. Today I say to you, you are with me in paradise now. I remember writing that line. And again, at this time I had not had any glimmers at all of our oneness. I had no glimmers of the perfection that we experience even when we aren't aware of it. All of these experiences you guys have heard me talk about, like the gratitude for war, the being an apple, being Jesus on the cross, all of these experiences that have taught me so much, I hadn't had any of them yet, none of them. But when he said to me, today I say to you, you are with me in paradise now, something in me knew that was true. I can't really explain it. I just knew it, almost like it was a memory. Almost like it was a memory. And even though I didn't have any tastes of that, any glimmers of that, something in me did relax. And something in me, again, was willing to be patient and willing to trust, even though my experience was completely different. Again, I seemed to be going through some kind of a hell at this time, feeling like a selfish bastard, terrified of the future. Because remember, I just quit my job and all of that. You know, where's the money going to come from? How am I going to take care of my daughter? Why won't my daughter leave me alone? I mean, this is where my mind was. But somehow I knew. Today I say to you, you are with me in paradise now. I knew there was a truth there. And now I get it a lot more because I have had those mystical experiences. I have had those glimmers. And so I'm just really glad I put faith in that sentence. That's all I have to say. Faith does matter. Trust does matter. And it does lead us to the experiences that truly teach us. Okay, scroll up to Sunday, July 17th, and let's look at this selfish bastard again. Lesson 170. That was my least favorite lesson in A Course in Miracles. I hated Lesson 170 with a passion. And the reason I hated it is because it said, there is no cruelty in God and none in me. And I didn't believe that at all because I felt like the cruelest person in the world, really. Just mean and hateful and, just really, I cannot tell you. Well, maybe I can. Maybe you all know. Maybe you all know how I perceived myself at this time because maybe you've perceived yourself that way too, or maybe you even still do. I really just thought I was terrible. And the reason, again, is because I lived with this beautiful little Chinese girl who just wanted to spend time with me, and all I wanted to do was get away from her. And be alone. And I just really thought I was a hateful, hateful, hateful person. So I hated this lesson because it said there is no cruelty in God and none in me. And really, I thought I was cruelty. So I hated this lesson. I hated it. So, question. I am asked to have only one purpose, yet I seem to have at least two. Truth and raising my daughter. And yet, I seem to hate her for being in my way. Please help me to see this differently. Answer. You are afraid. Everyone in your world is afraid, and the fearful must attack to protect themselves, and then they feel guilty, and the cycle of believing in illusion continues. You cannot love your daughter because you do not forgive and love yourself. Here is proof that you are one, for if you were separate, you could hate you and love her, because the two would have no relationship to one another. Yeah, he's funny how he spends things,
smart,
isn't it?
Smart ass.
He's a smart ass, Laurent says.
Smart holy ass.
Yeah, yeah, of course you may. Holy Spirit is laughing with you. He knows. He knows. You cannot love your daughter because you do not forgive and love yourself. Here is proof that you are one. For if you were separate, you could hate you and love her, because the two of you would have no relationship to one another. The relationship that you have is oneness. It is the child of God. How you feel about that child is how you feel about that child in all of its seeming forms. My child, what you do not realize is that you are love, and you do not realize this because you refuse to believe it. You are firm in your belief that you are hate, and yet there is nothing that is more ridiculous. And what is true for you is true for me and for everyone. Study again the workbook lesson that teaches there is no cruelty in me, and as you study it this time, keep in mind that the entirety of the universe and all of God is contained within the word me. So then when I look back at Lesson 70, so I had not read Lesson 170 before asking the question. The reason I went to Lesson 170 is because that was the assignment from Holy Spirit after asking the question. And what he asked me to do when I looked at it this time, when I see there is no cruelty in God and none in me, I was seeing me as Regina. There was separation there. And of course, it was because of the idea of separation that I was seeing myself as cruel. So he asked me to go back and look at me and see that me was everything. It's kind of reminding me of our message, broaden your view. It's the same thing, right? He said, as long as you see yourself as separate, you cannot love yourself.
And you cannot, and all that is cannot be hated.
And all that is cannot be hated. So broaden your view, and the hate will disappear. He's really saying the same thing. He's very consistent, isn't he?
He did a lot of that with me all this time, because I seem to easily like explode to all that is, and it is true. It's very helpful.
Yeah, yeah. So he wants me to realize, of course, that that we're all one, and that the way I feel about that one is how I feel about everything. But in the realizing of that, in the true realizing of that, as soon as you realize that we're all one, as soon as that really hits the heart, the hate just disappears. It just goes away. And this is, of course, we were listening to Ken on Sunday. And this is how Kim was describing the holy instant. Somebody asked, what is the holy instant? And I remember when I was reading A Course in Miracles, I could never quite get that either. What the heck is this holy instant? I think the ego really blocks that. But Ken was describing it as that moment when you see someone else is having the exact same interests or the exact same purpose as you. Or even another way I would put it now is it's when you really see someone else as the same as you. In that instant, when you realize that sameness, that is the holy instant. And that's really what Holy Spirit is pointing me to here. He wants me to look, even when I'm hating my daughter, he wants me to look right at her and realize I'm only hating her because I hate me and we're the same. And in that, if I can really realize that, even through hate, when I hit the sameness, the hate evaporates.
Yes.
It's really amazing. Holy Spirit is amazing. Amazing.
Holy Spirit, you're amazing.
Holy Spirit, you're amazing.
You're amazing.
Let's see. Lots of poems and stuff here. I think I'm going to go for one more. Let's go up to Sunday, July 17th, and then we'll stop. Sunday, July 17th, I choose to put illusions aside. I choose now to put all idols and illusions aside, regardless of the form they seem to take. For all form is the same. It is a deception intended to keep me apart from myself. Today, I choose again. I choose to see form as meaningless and love as real. I will ask love to give meaning to form by not putting another meaning there first. There is only one God, and all things are seen within God. All else is simply false. Today I choose truth because I am truth. Today I lay down my arms and choose to love myself as me. And it seems to just be a continuing echo of broadening your view. And I think it's a great place to end tonight. So let's see what's up. Laurent is here tomorrow at 1.
Mm-hmm.
I am back on Friday at 2 for the NTI study group, and we're in Ephesians, which is where I saw oneness for the first time, so that's pretty cool. Jasmine's here at 4 with Mark. And then Saturday night, this Saturday night is the first Saturday night of February, so we're also going to be here at 8:30 this Saturday night. So, and then Laurent's here every Saturday morning at 9. And, of course, we're here on Sunday, so really.
So we're here.
Every day, every day.
You know, guys, we're here. And if you want to hear anything in French, we're here as well on Monday and Wednesday.
We got nothing else to do but hang out and pal talk.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay, so it's been great hanging out and pal talk with you all, and we'll see you tomorrow at 1 when Laurent is on. Bye.